Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1157. BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now, part 17. An Ounce of Prevention, part 2. This is being recorded on October 24th of the year 2020. In this program, we are going to continue with the path of inquiry that we engaged in our last two shows. The infamous Japanese Biological Warfare Program, Unit 731, was masked as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Unit of the Kwantung Army. In fact, the unit was engaged in epidemic propagation or creation, not prevention. That overlaps a point that we have made repeatedly, namely that there is no effective difference between offensive and defensive biological warfare research. If you are investigating how we beasties infect and either sicken or kill plants or animals or humans, it is the same research whether or not you call it, quote, offensive, unquote, or, quote, defensive, unquote. We have been looking at many of the programs that figure in the gain of function manipulations of bat-borne coronaviruses and that loom large in the COVID-19 phenomenon. In this program, we are going to continue with that path of inquiry, and we are going to be accessing part of a very important article talking about one of the main, quote, epidemic prevention, unquote, institutions that we have been talking about, namely the Eco Health Alliance that has been chaired by Peter Daszak, Daszak. And I should say that it may well be that many, even the vast majority of the people involved with these programs are perfectly sincere and of goodwill. But with regard to biological warfare, it only takes a relatively small number of malefactors to turn beneficial research into warfare and annihilation. With regard to organizations like the EcoHealth Alliance, they have, as we have seen in the past, associations with known fronts for U.S. intelligence in the past, such as the U.S. Agency for International Development. In the second article that we are going to read in this program, and I am sure that we will continue with this in our next program, we are going to take a look at the EcoHealth Alliance, and we are going to take a look at just how many associations that organization and Peter Daszak have with organizations that are military in nature, chiefly the Pentagon, other U.S. national security institutions, and other intelligence-connected institutions as well. There was a fascinating article that talked about a commission that has been set up by The Lancet, that's capital L-A-N-C-E-T as in Thomas. That is a British medical publication. And interestingly enough, their COVID-19 commission is going to be led by Dr. Peter Daszak of the EcoHealth Alliance, about whom we will hear far more later in the program and in our next program as well, because I'm sure that the long article that I'm going to be reading, a very important article, will stretch well into our next program. As well, it is interesting, and we will deal with this in our next program. The other main figure who has been selected for the Lancet COVID-19 Commission is none other than Jeffrey Sachs, last name S-A-C-H-S. Jeffrey Sachs is a member of the Sanders Institute, that is Sanders as in Bernie Sanders. He is also an economic advisor to AOC. Most importantly for our purposes, he was the chief academician slash advisor with the Harvard Institute of International Development, which was, as Doug Henwood, a researcher who has a program on Pacific Radio, he was to Boris Yeltsin's regime in Russia as the, quote, Chicago boys, unquote, were to Salvador Allende's regime in Chile. Jeffrey Sachs basically oversaw the plunging of the Russian economy into the Stone Age. And as one Russian journalist quipped, expressing a common view, a correct view in all probability, although absolute confirmation I'm sure will never publicly surface, he was viewed as an emissary either of Satan or the CIA. I personally do not believe in the existence of Satan. And the HIIB was funded in part by the U.S. government. His CV, that is to say, Jeffrey Sachs' CV, is at one with those of U.S. intelligence / CIA financed academicians. It does not obviously prove that he was CIA, but what is so interesting about his inclusion in this commission, he now is at Columbia University and is overseeing an interdisciplinary body. He has, as far as I can tell, no scientific or medical credentials whatsoever. Again, his main claim to fame, the main element on his CV, is his advisory position to Boris Yeltsin when he was returning the Russian economy to the Stone Age. And again, it is said of Jeffrey Sachs that he was an emissary either of Satan or the CIA. We'll talk about that in our next program, possibly the program after that, because we certainly won't have time for that in this broadcast. Now, to begin with, we are going to start our discussion with an article from The Telegraph, that is a British publication from September 15th of 2020. This is co-authored by Paul Newkey, N-U-K-I, and Sarah Newey, M-E-W-E-Y. The article is titled, Scientists to Examine Possibility COVID Leaked from Lab as Part of Investigation into Virus Origins. It reads in part as follows. An international team of scientists will examine the possibility that SARS-CoV-2 leaked from a laboratory as part of a comprehensive investigation into the origins of the virus. The team is being set up as part of the Lancet COVID-19 Commission, a body established in July to, quote, offer practical solutions, unquote, to the pandemic and to make recommendations on how the next one can be avoided or better defended against. The team looking at the origins of the virus will be led by Dr. Peter Bazak, B-A-S-Z-A-K, a British zoologist and leading authority on zoonotic spillover events. Dr. Bazak said yesterday that he and his team would, quote, systematically examine every theory, unquote, about the origin of the virus, carefully marshaling the scientific evidence for each. He accepted that conspiracy theorists would not welcome his appointment, but said as a scientist he would, quote, not be bound by preconceived ideas, unquote, and would investigate all avenues forensically and, quote, with an open mind, unquote. He warned, however, it was not possible to, quote, prove a negative, unquote, and said it was unlikely it would ever be possible to say with, quote, absolute certainty, unquote, how the virus emerged. Quote, but what we can do is look at every possible theory on the origins of COVID-19 and say, quote, what is the evidence for that, unquote. And then we put all those theories together and say, quote, where is the preponderance of evidence? Quote, is it for the virus coming from nature and spilling over into people and emerging that way? Or is it from some form of human involvement that involves a lab or biotechnology? Let's see where the evidence lies, unquote. Skipping down. The Lancet Commission notes in its mission statement that, quote, the evidence debate supports the view that SARS-CoV-2 is a naturally occurring virus rather than the result of laboratory creation and release, unquote. But it adds that investigators should examine, quote, the possibility of laboratory involvement, unquote, in a, quote, scientific and objective way that is unhindered by geopolitical agendas and misinformation, unquote. It is hoped that a full investigation will, if nothing else, rule out, quote, baseless and uninformed allegations and conspiracy theories that are unbacked by evidence, unquote. The wider Lancet COVID-19 Commission is being chaired by Professor Jeffrey Sachs, an eminent American economist and advisor to the UN. He will oversee the investigation not just into the origins of virus, but the world's reaction to it in order to make recommendations for strengthening pandemic preparedness globally. Well, in addition to the fact that Sachs, again, who is an economist, and certainly there is, I think, a need for assessing the overall social and economic impact of the virus and the pandemic. And in fact, if they really want to do that, they can use some of the information I have developed and will be developing, because that is what I am looking at. But he, again, Jeffrey Sachs, has no medical or scientific credentials whatsoever. He is an economist. And again, it was Jeffrey Sachs, as head of the HIID, a partly U.S. government-funded academic group from Harvard University, that advised Boris Yeltsin and basically drove the Russian economy back to the Stone Age. Peter Bezak's involvement here is also more than a little interesting, because Peter Bezak is not only involved with a great many programs that are linked to the military, to other U.S. national security institutions, but he has been deeply involved with programs with the Wuhan Institute of Virology that have been performing gain-of-function mutations on bat-borne coronaviruses. He is probably as high profile and well documented an advocate of gain of function mutations on these kinds of viruses as anyone there is. And his inclusion, his central position in this commission, I think, is not only significant, it will be interesting to see what they come up with. I would almost bet, in fact, I will bet, they will not conclude that the virus was genetically engineered in an American laboratory. And as I have pointed out in the past, at this point in time, any virus can be synthesized from scratch in a laboratory once the genetic material has been put online or completely documented. There is technology that could be seen as analogous to the 3D printers which someone can use to actually construct a working firearm. And again, any virus can be constructed from scratch. And Dr. Ralph Barich, B-A-R-I-C, of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who was involved with Peter Bezak and people from the WIV with some gain-of-function experiments on bat-borne coronaviruses. He was selected to construct a replica of the SARS-CoV-2 virus from scratch using that technology. It will be interesting to see if they say, yep, this came from a Chinese laboratory. One of the things we looked at in our last program, and that was the fact that generally when viruses are studied in a laboratory, they are inactivated using frozen nitrogen so that basically they don't mutate, and that would make it extremely difficult for a virus to accidentally escape. There may be some accidental, quote, escapes, unquote, due to sloppy laboratory procedure. Certainly, the U.S. Army's Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick was closed for sloppy procedures in early August of 2019. I would be very surprised if the conclusion was that, yes, the virus was made in a laboratory or mutated in a laboratory using gain-of-function experiments. And again, no one is more enthusiastic for and identified with gain-of-function manipulations on such organisms than Peter Daszak. He is anything but an objective observer in this regard. And again, I think the inclusion of Jeffrey Sachs with no medical or scientific credentials whatsoever is also very significant. We'll go into that at greater length in our next program, perhaps the program after that. Now, we have looked at the U.S. Institute, the United States, USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, and their work funding Project PREDICT, and the work of Peter Daszak and the EcoHealth Alliance in China. And as we will see in the long and very important article that we will begin reading, Peter Daszak has been centrally involved, and the EcoHealth Alliance has been centrally involved with many U.S. national security-connected institutions, including many connected to the Pentagon and biological warfare research. He also has connections to other institutions as well that are worth pondering in this regard. The article I'm about to begin reading exemplifies why I produce the written descriptions for each of these programs. I think it would be an excellent idea for any member of the listening audience who would like to get a clearer idea about just what Peter Daszak has been involved with, to access the written description for the show, or perhaps the actual article that I am about to read. This article is titled, "Peter, Show Me the Money, Daszak Pulls in Big Bucks Through EcoHealth Alliance for Risky Virus, Quote, Research," unquote. And this is by Alexis, A-L-E-X-I-S, Baden Mayer, B-A-D-E-N hyphen M-A-Y-E-R. It was published in About Magazine, September 19th, 2020. And Alexis Mayer is the political director for the Organic Consumers Association, or OCA, that puts out About Magazine. And the article is reproduced in its entirety in the written description for the show, which will be available presently. And again, you can do a search for About Magazine, Alexis Baden-Mayer, September 19th of 2020. Peter, Show Me the Money, Daszak Pulls in Big Bucks to EcoHealth Alliance for Risky Virus Research. I'm going to read the article in its entirety, and I will repeat segments of it that I think are worthy of emphasis. To note here, note how many different national security-connected institutions, the EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Bezak are connected to. Notice also that as an academician, Peter Bezak's record is spotty. He certainly has produced research that would appear to be faulty, or certainly with which other researchers in the field have taken serious issue. And again, note how deeply involved he is with gain of function experiments or manipulation. And again, the question that I am asking about many of these epidemic prevention, unquote, institutions is whether they mask or perhaps are in and of themselves fronts for or perhaps infiltrated by those who are using the epidemic prevention, unquote, capabilities for epidemic propagation or creation. So again, from Peter, from About Magazine of September 19th of 2020, Peter, show me the money Bezak pulls in big bucks to EcoHealth Alliance for risky virus research by Alexis Baden-Mayer. Peter Bezak, president of EcoHealth Alliance, is a top scientific collaborator, grant writer, and spokesperson for virus hunters and gain-of-function dual-use researchers in labs both military and civilian. Bezak works with dozens of high-containment laboratories around the world that contain pathogens and use... Bezak works with dozens of high-containment laboratories around the world that collect pathogens and use genetic engineering and synthetic biology to make them more infectious, contagious, lethal, or drug-resistant. These include labs controlled by the U.S. Department of Defense in countries in the former Soviet Union, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Many of these labs are staffed by former biological weapons scientists. Before the Biological Weapons Convention was ratified, this research was called what it is, biological weapons research. Now, it is euphemistically called gain-of-function or dual-use research. Gain-of-function research to alter coronaviruses for the infection of humans goes back to 1999 or earlier, years before the first novel coronavirus outbreak. On behalf of the U.S. government, often the military, Bezak scours the globe for animal pathogens and brings them back to the lab to be cataloged, investigated, and manipulated. Bezak and others justify their research this way. If or when an outbreak of a new virus occurs, they can compare it to the ones in their labs and maybe glean how the novel virus emerged. A recent Wired magazine article quoting Bezak described how a virus collected in 2012 was found to be a 96% match to SARS-CoV-2 in 2020. The search for the source of SARS, which killed, quote, the search for the source of SARS, which killed more than 770 people two decades ago, has given us a head start for the current hunt. Wearing hazmat suits and equipped with mist nets, a team from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, together with the ecologist and president of EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Bezak, ventured into limestone caves to collect feces and blood samples from thousands of roosting bats before testing them for novel coronaviruses in the lab. At the time, we were looking for SARS-related viruses, and this one was 20% different, unquote, says Bezak. Again, quoting, we thought it's interesting, but not high risk, so we didn't do anything about it and put it in the freezer, unquote. The group has found around 500 bat-borne viruses in China over the last 16 years, but only flagged those that most resembled SARS to the authorities. A lack of funding meant they couldn't further investigate the virus strain, now known to be 96% genetically similar to the virus that causes COVID-19, unquote. Interesting though that story is, it fails to explain how SARS-CoV-2 evolved. Some scientists say it would take 50 years for RATG-13, that is the virus they found, to turn into SARS-CoV-2. One more time. Some scientists say that it would take 50 years for RATG-13 to turn into SARS-CoV-2. Others propose theories on how the virus might have evolved so quickly, yet still suspect that it escaped from the Wuhan lab. Certainly, to learn that the closest known relative to SARS-CoV-2 had been in the care of the gain-of-function researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology for 7 years does nothing to allay suspicions that the virus infected humans only after being tinkered with in a lab. One more time. Certainly, to learn that the closest known relative to SARS-CoV-2 has been in the care of gain-of-function researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology for 7 years does nothing to allay suspicions that the virus infected humans only after being tinkered with in a lab. And parenthetically, that WIV is partnered with EcoHealth Alliance and with researchers in the U.S. such as Dr. Ralph Barrett, whom we mentioned earlier. They also, WIV that is networked and has been for decades with the U.S. Army Medical Institute of Infectious Diseases. Continuing. Still, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is going all in on virus hunting. The Institute just announced a 5-year, $82 million investment in a new global network of centers for research in emerging infectious diseases, including gain-of-function experiments to, quote, determine what genetic or other changes make animal pathogens capable of infecting humans, unquote. BASAC's EcoHealth Alliance will receive $7.5 million from this grant. This is on top of $100.9 million that EcoHealth Alliance has received in government grants and contracts since 2003. What was that BASAC said about how, quote, a lack of funding meant they couldn't further investigate the virus strain now known to be 96% genetically similar to the virus that causes COVID-19. By the way, as we reviewed in our last program, the Trump administration terminated that program in May of this year, and that program was funded in considerable measure by the aforementioned United States Agency for International Development, a common CIA cutout. It is much more than just a CIA cutout, but it has been used by CIA frequently in the past. And again, research, as we will review later on, the research in which bat-borne coronaviruses were infected, were altered, I should say, gain-of-function manipulated to infect humans, was under the auspices of this program. Continuing. Critics of virus hunting say scientists like BASAC could make a greater contribution to human health by going after the viruses that commonly infect humans, not the ones that never have. According to a 2018 Smithsonian Magazine report, quote, not everyone thinks that discovering viruses and their hotspots is the best way to prevent pandemics. Dr. Robert B. Tesh, a virologist at the University of Texas Medical Branch, says we don't understand enough about zoonotic viruses to create predictive models. Quote, a lot of the stuff they produce is hype. It is more PR than science, unquote. BASAC's research might be more hype and public relations than science, but the Department of Homeland Security's National Biosurveillance, beginning again, Bezak's research might be more hype in public relations than science, but the Department of Homeland Security's National Biosurveillance Integration Center, or NBIC, has chosen to rely on it. Again, one more time. This is quite a mouthful here. Bezak's research might be more hype and public relations than science, but the Department of Homeland Security's National Biosurveillance Integration Center, or NBIC, has chosen to rely on it. NBIC gave Bezak's EcoHealth Alliance a $2.2 million contract from 2016 to 2019 to create a, quote, ground truth network, unquote, of, quote, subject matter experts, unquote, who could provide, quote, contextual information pertaining to biological events, unquote. The context Bezak invariably provides is a compelling one. Destruction of forests and other encroachments on wildlife habitats, especially the hunting of wild animals and the sale of live animals in wet markets, is forcing humans and animals into uncomfortable proximity. This is bad for vulnerable and endangered species, as well as for humans who are at increasing risk for contracting novel zoonotic diseases. And skipping down. Bezak's framing of the issue, what has come to be known as the One Health approach, has been heartily embraced by the U.S. military. One more time for emphasis. Bezak's framing of the issue, what has come to be known as the One Health approach, has been heartily embraced by the U.S. military. But what if the stories being spun by Bezak and his fellow government-supported subject matter experts are not supported by the evidence? Let's look at EcoHealth Alliance's story about Ebola and bushmeat, parenthetically, as we have seen, remdesivir, produced by Gilead Sciences, was originally developed as a treatment for Ebola and then repurposed into a broad-spectrum antiviral. It was being researched at the U.S. Army Medical Institute of USAMRIID at Fort Detrick in the early part of last year. Primates, basically rhesus monkeys, were being infected with Ebola, and remdesivir was being tested on them. We've looked at remdesivir and its repurposing into a SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 drug, but it began as an Ebola treatment drug, and it was being researched at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, which was closed down by the CDC in early August of last year. Now, continuing with this article, let's look at EcoHealth Alliance's story about Ebola and bushmeat. And this next section, false narrative, tragic outcomes. From 2011 to 2014, EcoHealth Alliance had a $164,480 purchase order contract from the Centers for Disease Control in Pittsburgh for bushmeat, unquote. No more information than that is available on that contract, but the money likely funded a paper Bezak and his colleagues published in 2012. The 2012 paper, Zoonotic Viruses Associated with Illegally Imported Wildlife Products, unquote, was used in August of 2014 at the height of the West African Ebola pandemic as the basis for a Newsweek article titled, Smuggled Bushmeat is Ebola's Backdoor to America, unquote. The article, which quoted an EcoHealth Alliance spokesperson, spread a false, not to mention racist and xenophobic narrative, one that subsequently would be thoroughly debunked, that bushmeat smuggled to the U.S. from Africa could transmit Ebola to Americans. In January of 2015, a meeting of the UK Bushmeat Working Group convened. The group countered Bezak's misinformation with the facts in an article titled, "Ebola and Bushmeat, Myth and Reality," unquote. The article stated, quote, As the Ebola virus can remain viable in untreated carcasses for up to 3 to 4 days, there is a risk of transporting it to bushmeat markets, although there is no evidence of this to date. One more time. As the Ebola virus can remain viable in untreated carcasses for up to 3 to 4 days, there is a risk of transporting it to bushmeat markets, although there is no evidence of this to date. However, the risk of transmitting Ebola in bushmeat overseas to Europe or the USA is extremely low given the total travel time and the fact that these carcasses are usually smoked, which probably inactivates the virus. The risk of spread to new areas lies with the movement of infected people, not infected meat. Tragically, the misinformation about bushmeat as a primary cause of Ebola transmission had already been communicated to West Africans in the midst of the crisis through international health organizations, including BASAC's funder, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. BASAC's misinformation campaign overshadowed the truth that the only way Ebola was actually being transmitted during the pandemic was via contact with the bodily fluids of people sick with Ebola or with their corpses. And in the next section of the article, perpetuating mythical theories. The SARS pandemic is another instance where BASAC's theories did not pan out. It is commonly accepted that the SARS pandemic began in 2002 when humans caught a bat virus from civet cats at a wet market in Guangdong, China. But Bezak and his collaborators admit they have no evidence to explain how the virus leapt from bats to civets to humans. SARS-CoV was found in civets at the Guangdong wet market, but civets aren't the natural reservoir of this virus. Bats are. Only the civets at the market, and no farm-raised or wild civets, carried the virus. None of the animal traders handling the civets at the wet market at the beginning again. None of the animal traders handling the civets at the market had SARS. That is important. One more time. Only the civets at the market and no farm-raised or wild civets carried the virus. None of the animal traders handling the civets at the market had SARS. When Bezak and his collaborators at the WIV searched the cave in Yunnan for strains of coronavirus similar to human versions, no single bat actually had SARS. Genetic pieces of the various strains would have to be recombined to make up the human version. Adding to the confusion, Yunnan is about 1,000 kilometers from Guangdong. So how did viruses from bats in Yunnan combine to become deadly to humans and then travel to civets and people in Guangdong without causing any illness along the way during this 1,000-kilometer trip? Now, this is an important sentence, and I'm going to repeat it. So, how did viruses from bats in Yunnan combine to become deadly to humans and then travel to civets and people in Guangdong without causing any illnesses along the way during this 1,000-kilometer trip? No one knows. Just like no one knows how SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, leapt from bats to pangolins to humans. The most recent study broad host range of SARS-CoV-2 predicted by comparative and structural analysis of ACE2 invertebrates, unquote, in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences showed that the SARS-CoV-2, which infects human cells through binding of the viral spike protein to ACE2, has a, quote, very high, unquote, binding affinity to ACE2 in old world monkeys, apes, and humans. But in bats, the binding affinity is, quote, low, unquote, and in pangolins, it is very low, unquote. The authors also noted that, quote, neither experimental infection nor in vitro infection with SARS-CoV-2 has been reported for pangolins, unquote. Bezac continues to tell his bat origin story, but the science doesn't back it up. That, along with the fact that dozens of labs conduct gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses, and there are troubling safety issues at these labs, is what the National Institutes of Health is investigating the possibility that SARS-CoV-2 escaped from a lab. And the next section of the article, inquiring minds at the National Institutes of Health want to know. On July 8th, the NIH sent a letter to Bezac asking EcoHealth Alliance to arrange for an inspection of the WIV by an outside team that would examine the facility's lab and records, quote, with specific attention to addressing the question of whether WIV staff had SARS-CoV-2 in their possession prior to December of 2019, unquote. The WIV and the Wuhan University School of Public Health are listed as subcontractors for EcoHealth Alliance under a $3.7 million NIH grant titled Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence, unquote. The two institutions also work as collaborators under another $2.6 million grant, Risk of Viral Emergence from Bats, unquote, and under EcoHealth Alliance's largest single source of funding, a $44.2 million subgrant from the University of California at Davis for the PREDICT project that, again, was financed in part by the USAID, as we have seen in the past. Continuing, it is the $44.2 million PREDICT grant that EcoHealth Alliance used to fund the gain-of-function experiment by WIV scientist Zhengli Shi and the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill's Ralph Barich. Shi and Barich used genetic engineering and synthetic biology to create, quote, a new bat SARS-like virus that can jump directly from its bat hosts to humans, unquote. Bezac described the work being done by Shi and Barich in a 2019 interview, quote, you can manipulate them, coronaviruses, in the lab pretty easily. Spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronaviruses, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we worked with Ralph Barich at UNC to do this. Insert it into a backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab, unquote. That work, quote, a SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence, unquote, published in Nature magazine in 2015 during the NIH's moratorium on gain-of-function research, was grandfathered in because it was initiated before the moratorium, officially called the U.S. government deliberative process research funding pause on selected gain-of-function research involving influenza, MERS, and SARS viruses, and because the request by Shi and Barich to continue their research during the moratorium was approved by the NIH. As a condition of publication, Nature, like most scientific journals, requires authors to submit new DNA and RNA sequences to GenBank, the U.S. National Center for Biotechnology Information Database. Yet the new SARS-like virus she and Barrett created wasn't deposited in GenBank until May of 2020. Question, why? And also, it is interesting, isn't it, that the NIH is not clamoring for a search of the U.S. AMRIID at Fort Detrick, which was shut down in early August of 2019, and which was doing work on unnamed, quote, select agents, unquote, including treating rhesus macaques with remdesivir to look at its effectiveness with Ebola. It wasn't effective. It has been repurposed to treat SARS-CoV-2. It was, by the way, administered to none other than Donald Trump. And then the next section of the article, very interesting here. Again, let me repeat that last sentence. As a condition of publication, Nature magazine, like most scientific journals, requires authors to submit new DNA and RNA sequences to GenBank, the U.S. National Center for Biotechnology Information Database. Yet the new SARS-like virus she and Barrett created under the EcoHealth Alliance project, partly funded by USAID and also the NIH, which has worked with CIA and Pentagon in the past, yet the new SARS-like virus she and Barrett created wasn't deposited in GenBank until May of 2020. That's basically 5 years later. And the question, of course, why? And then the next section of the article, why stop with Wuhan? NIH is right to require that WIV's lab and records be open to outside inspectors. But why is the government focusing on just one of EcoHealth Alliance's projects when the organization has received $100.9 million in grants, primarily from the Department of Defense, to sample, store, and study bat coronaviruses at labs around the world? For emphasis, I'm going to repeat this. But why is the government focusing on just one of EcoHealth Alliance's projects when the organization has received $100.9 million in grants, primarily from the Department of Defense, to sample, store, and study bat coronaviruses at labs around the world? Coronaviruses, both those that have been collected from animals and those that have been created through genetic engineering and synthetic biology, at all of these labs should be compared with SARS-CoV-2. Indeed, for emphasis, I'll repeat this. Coronaviruses, both those that have been collected from animals and those that have been created through genetic engineering and synthetic biology, at all of these labs should be compared with SARS-CoV-2. BASAC's collaborators, working under contracts with the Department of Health and Human Services, are not allowed to conduct gain-of-function research unless specifically approved to do so by the Potential Pandemic Pathogen Care and Oversight, P3CO, committee. This committee was set up as a condition for lifting the 2014 to 2017 moratorium on gain-of-function research. And this last couple of sentences again for purposes of emphasis. BASAC's collaborators, working under contracts with the Department of Health and Human Services, aren't allowed to conduct gain-of-function research unless specifically approved to do so by the Potential Pandemic Pathogen Care and Oversight, or P3CO, committee. This committee was set up as a condition for lifting the 2014 to 2017 moratorium on gain-of-function research. The P3CO committee operates in secret. Not even a membership list has been released. The only information provided to the public is that Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response Robert Kablek, K-A-B-L-E-C, appointed HHS Senior Science Advisor Christian Hassel, H-A-S-S-E-L-L, as its chair. Again, for emphasis, I'm going to repeat this. The P3CO committee operates in secret. Not even a membership list has been released. The only information provided to the public is that Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response Robert Kablek appointed HHS Senior Science Advisor Christian Hassel as its chair. It is time to open the records of the PC3O committee's deliberations and decisions to examine all gain-of-function research on coronaviruses. And every lab manipulating these viruses should have their coronaviruses compared to SARS-CoV-2. The Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DPRA, for its Cooperative Biological Engagement Program, now called the Biological Threat Reduction Program, is not supposed to fund gain-of-function, what they call dual-use research at all. It is time to determine whether this prohibition on dual-use funding has been adhered to, especially in light of the investments the Pentagon is making across the globe in the construction of new laboratories for the, quote, consolidation and securing of pathogens, unquote. DTRA's mission was to dismantle the biological weapons programs of hostile or destabilized countries. Instead, it is being used to develop new biological weapons programs in dozens of countries around the world. One more time. DTRA's mission was to dismantle the biological weapons programs of hostile or destabilized countries. Instead, it is being used to develop new biological weapons programs in dozens of countries around the world. Even if these programs are purely defensive, they proliferate around the globe pathogens with pandemic potential, even though it has been difficult to keep these dangerous germs under control here in the U.S. Again, repeating. Even if these programs are purely defensive, they proliferate around the globe pathogens with pandemic potential, even though it has been difficult to keep these dangerous germs under control here in the U.S. And it then has a number of different papers and links to those papers talking about that. The next section of the article, Eco-Health's tentacles reach far and wide. EcoHealth Alliance is very much involved in the Pentagon's proliferation of high-containment biological laboratories. It is conducting DTRA-funded work in the following countries, which are all participants in the Pentagon's Biological Threat Reduction Program. Tanzania. In Tanzania, a country that is considered only partly free, unquote, which has a history of foreign medical experimentation and which did not ratify the Biological Weapons Convention until 2019, EcoHealth Alliance has a $5 million Pentagon contract, quote, Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, reducing an emerging health threat in Tanzania. One more pun. In Tanzania, and then this, basically summarizing that, in Tanzania, EcoHealth Alliance has a $5 million Pentagon contract. Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever reducing an emerging health threat in Tanzania, unquote. Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever is a tick-borne disease originally only infecting animals that was discovered by Obis and Callister Causey, C-A-U-S-E-Y, while working for the Rockefeller Foundation in Nigeria. There was only one case ever of CCHF in Tanzania, and that was in 1986. And obviously, this raises questions about why this project is being conducted. Crimean Congo Hemorrhagic Fever, or CCHF, is a tick-borne disease originally only infecting animals. It was discovered by Obis and Callister Causey while working for the Rockefeller Foundation in Nigeria. There was only one case ever of CCHF in Tanzania, and that was in 1986. Gain-of-function research on CCHF is being conducted at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Bio and Agro-Defense Facility, or NBAF, to determine the, quote, mechanisms of CCHF transmission, including development of CCHF tick and animal infection methods and CCHF tick animal transmission models. The National Bio and Agro Defense Facility will take over the mission of the Plum Island Animal Disease Center and become the lead facility for foreign animal disease research. I would note this is going to be in Kansas, a prime food-growing state which doesn't do much for my appetite, incidentally. The National Bio and Agro Defense Facility Biosafety Level 4 Zoonotic and Emerging Infectious Diseases Disease Teams CCHF Virus Surveillance Project is investigating, quote, the interface between tick vectors, livestock, and pastoralist and resource-poor farming communities in Tanzania, unquote, as well as the disease's molecular pathogenesis. Unquote. Tanzania is the origin of chikungunya, C-H-I-K-U-N-G-U-N-Y-A, a mosquito-borne virus that the U.S. has long cultivated as a potential biological weapon, according to a patent held by the University of Texas for a, quote, chimeric, unquote, chikungunya virus created through genetic engineering and synthetic biology. The 39 documented laboratory infections reported by HHS in 1981 strongly suggest that chikungunya virus is infectious via aerosol route. Chikungunya virus was being weaponized by the U.S. Army when the offensive program was terminated, unquote. And again, there is no difference between offensive and defensive biological warfare research. Tanzania is one of the countries where bat coronaviruses were collected for the PREDICT project, again, funded in part by USAID. We will continue with this discussion and with a reading of this article in our next program. But again, having Peter Bazak overseeing this commission with, of all people, Jeffrey Sachs, with no scientific or medical credentials whatsoever, is more than a little interesting. My guess is they will say, nope, this did not emerge from a laboratory. Or if they do, they'll say, yep, it accidentally escaped from a Chinese laboratory. I would be absolutely amazed if they said, wow, this looks like this escaped from the American laboratory. And bear in mind, too, that the COVID-19 outbreak caused by SARS-CoV-2 takes place in the context of the full court press against China with overt and covert operations, a trade war, and many other things that are basically dominating the headlines today. More about this in our next program. However, this concludes For the Record program number 1157, BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now Part 17, An Ounce of Prevention Part 2, being recorded on October 24th of 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.